overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change, to create a brand new life. I am.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday celebration from the Center of Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
So that we can enter into a place of transmission, shall we say. Transmit the love, the light, the awareness in a world that's filled with struggle. So this is Claude Debussy, the French musician. Allow the music to penetrate your soul.
You want me to just go ahead and start it?
Thank you. so our attention comes to rest in the stillness, the silence out of which the notes arise, the peace that exists before the energy starts to move. And we enter into this sacred space with a willingness to open to our true nature. I love the idea that stillness has been the greatest gift that we have been given in life. The Bible even admonishes us to be still. Be still and know that I am God. And so when Clair de Lune, this beautiful piece by Claude Debussy, is played with such sensitive fingers, it takes us into the original vibration where that piece of music was created. And the opportunity, the gift, is to enter into that vibrational field. At home, I have a little practice. Instead of watching television or listening to the television, my mother used to keep it on for company, she used to say. Instead, I put on light classical music and throughout the house, soft pieces of music like Clair de Lune are playing. And it sets up an energy field at home that I'm in a flow of activity. But the flow is done in a mindful, sacred, where every moment becomes an opportunity to discover nirvana, to discover the givingness of life. If you will, we're in a flow of awakening. With every breath, with every moment, this something that is awake and free reveals itself if we are attentive. Tomorrow is the celebration of our Independence Day. And the irony is that we're already free, but so many of us don't know it. We tend to identify with the struggle, with the bondage, with the conditions of life, instead of touching that part of us that's already free. And so in this month of July, with our country in turmoil, wearing my little Ukrainian t-shirt out of homage for their beautiful fight for liberty and democracy, we're going to explore the idea of more together than alone. When two or more are gathered in a frequency of divine love, we potentiate that field of love. And so it's not about the individual self doing something to affect change in the world. Yes, that's important when we're called to do something. But it's about coming together in a collective energy of the Christ consciousness, if you will, the universal Christ, the awakened Buddha nature, which is within all creation. And just by touching it in this holy instant of now, we invite its passageway through our thoughts, through our feelings, through our physical body, because we're not separate. As we rest in that silence, we notice that there are two aspects to mind. There's what Ernest Holmes calls the infinite mind, or the universal mind, or we could call the non-local mind, which means it's everywhere and nowhere in particular. And then we also have a local mind. The local mind is our conditioned mind, our programmed mind, the mind that has conclusions and answers and opinions and beliefs. And for this brief period, on this Sunday morning, I'm going to invite you to turn off the narrative of the local mind and tap into that field that we all share, a field of love, a field of open-hearted awareness. The mystic Rumi says, out beyond the ideas of right thinking and wrong thinking, there is a field. And he says, when the soul lies down in that field, which is what I'm inviting you to do today, he said, words are not necessary. That's why the silence is so sacred. Even the idea, each other, as a separate self, does not exist. And he says, I will meet you there. Ernest Holmes says, one, one, one. If we teach anything, we teach oneness. And so could we recognize the one life waking up within ourselves and all creation and allow for that expansion of consciousness, that evolution of our own being. And by coming here with an intention to stop, to be still, there is the potential to be in a flow of the awakened self that doesn't get louder, but gets clearer when we become still. So I invite you to open your eyes, enter into this space of divine love. You can feel the love. My teacher, Llewellyn Von Lee, said, you know, you don't think your way into truth, beloved Bill. He says you feel your way into it. So if I say, do you think you love your wife or your dog, or do you know you love your dog or your partner? It's a felt knowing. And the longer I'm on the planet, the more I realize the whole game is completely different from what I thought it was, Reva. I thought I was here to have the answers. I thought I was here to direct the universe. I can remember one of my religious science colleagues said, the universe needs to be told. And so we get clear and we direct the law to affect what we want in the universe. I don't think that way anymore. Now I think it's quite the reverse. We turn off the local mind and we begin to open to something that binds us together in a web of life, that we're all connected. It's a web of life. And if you ever loved anybody, you realize that you're connected to that little web. My beloved nature, Chris, has an old cat that he rescued from the streets. He was a feral cat. For years and years, nobody could get near him. And this kind-hearted neighbor managed to tame this feral cat, and he named him Trey after my husband. And Trey has been compromised with every possible cat malady there is. Until this morning, he's at the fragile end of a very tenuous life. And we stood in the garden talking about how we're so connected. And I said, do one favor for me. When you have the compassion to finally make that decision to release Trey, make sure you hold him in your arms and make sure that he knows that he's loved right up to the very end. And as I'm talking to him and tears are in his eyes, I notice that I have the pug who's waddling around with his one eye, who can't see and can't hear. And there's such a deep connection, even to a compromised pet. You know, it's even sacred. This is the Bert's final week. A year ago, Trey and I went up to Maine on July 5th, and we left our old dog to beloved Jody. And it was such a sacred, because he started with her, and he came to us, and he ended up back with her. She was his spiritual mother. And I remember telling Bert, Jody's going to hold your head and hold your paw while we're gone. And I know she did exactly that. And so what a sacred time it is when we know we're more together than apart. And anytime we can extend ourselves in service to another, we're the ones that reap the blessing, because we're inextricably connected in this web of life. So as I explore this greater idea of more together than alone, this first Sunday of the month, I'm going to speak about my favorite subject, which is living in the questions, not living in the answers. I don't have any answers for you, any of you. Linda, if you came for answers, you came for the wrong reason. I court the question, how then shall I live, knowing that I'm going to die? And yet I know my Zen calendar this morning was Thich Nhat Hanh, and he says, you have always been here. Well, what is he saying? I guess you don't die. You're an eternal spiritual being. What do you think of that, Kelly? Well, could we know? You know, every time I drive by the Roebuck marker in the graveyard, I'm having an experience with a young lady that I never met who's still here via a connection to a beloved friend of mine. And then you think, am I going crazy that I'm talking to spiritual people? Living in the question. One of the questions I like to ask is, can I be open to the ancestors? Because I know that the ancestors live within us. So then who would be the ancestors, Raoul? Well, then it's Legion. I think Jesus is one of our ancestors. He was an awakened Jew. He was a smart guy who pointed the way. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the universe. He said, I of myself do nothing. It's this power within that does the work. He'd say, what I do, you too shall do and greater. He didn't say, put me on a pedestal. No. And so could we find the ancestors that live in us and access, and this is the question I often ask, can I live in that vibration? Bob decided to play Clair de Lune this Sunday morning, and I was so grateful because the quality of that music sets a tone. And in the church that I was raised in Atlanta with Kennedy Schultz, every Sunday we would have a classical pianist on the stage, and he would play beautiful music like that. And Kennedy basically say, I don't want to give them musical candy, coining a phrase from a dear friend of mine, where they get up and stand and sing their hymns, even though they may want that. I want to give them something deeper that will set a tone, a vibrational field of energy upon which we can go deeper. So what does that mean, David? Well, I don't know what it means. Could we stay in the question? You know that the mind is 10 times more active when you're in the question than when you're in the answer. So if you give people answers, like beautiful aria there, I don't have the answer for your life, but I know that if you open to the possibilities of where it could go, then it will take you to the ends of the earth. And are we restricted by an idea of this is who I'm supposed to be? No, not at all. Then life has the ability to expand in ways that we can't imagine. So at age 73, I'm discovering that I really had it all wrong. It's not about getting clear and having a strategy and a mental equivalent and a goal for what you want, but in a strange sort of way, it's about trusting in uncertainty. If anybody doesn't feel uncertain on the planet right now, you've probably got a screw loose. These are really uncertain times on our planet with our environment, with women's rights, with gay rights. As a gay man, I don't feel safe in this country anymore. And so we get to look at that uncertainty that's all around us. And as my friend Bob Dees reminds us, is this a decision that I have to make? To flee. I have a husband who wants to flee the country if it gets worse. Now I know that he's operating out of fear and wanting to escape that which he fears might come upon him. Instead of saying, can I face this struggle in a proactive, mindful way and find out where, what steps I can take? We're teaching this wonderful class on ordinary freedom, and it's so appropriate at this time because of the 4th of July. And it's so interesting, we noticed in our revealing circle this Sunday morning, there's a lot of people out there struggling. Jody did a beautiful treatment that even in the midst of your struggling, there is that which doesn't struggle. So maybe then the question we get to ask is, what is it in me that's struggling? What is in me that is bound? What is in me that is in a reactive state? Because the irony is, by opening to the struggle, we find the freedom. It's not by denying the struggle, but in a strange sort of way by saying, yes, this is the challenge that life has brought me in this sacred moment. Whether it's a cat that needs to be euthanized in the morning, whether it's a neighbor who's cutting the trees down because he thinks that they're somehow a nuisance because they have to clean up their dirty leaves. He calls them dirty trees. There are some signs in the other room, if you should be courageous enough to put a liberal tree sign that says, if you like shade, save the trees. And now it's a tacit statement saying that I believe that they have value. Or you can believe that they don't, and you can, you know, clear cut the trees and see what happens. We don't have the answers. So I ask the question, what is life showing me in this moment? What is life showing me in this moment? I ask the question, where am I bound? I ask the question in my heart, what is struggling with the planet right now? And he says, when we open to the sacred now, we become one with the mystery of life. So what if the indigenous people had it right? Life is a great mystery, not to be figured out with the mind. I'm thinking of teaching the Tao Te Ching because it's so abstract, and it says, he who knows does not say, and he who says does not know. The Tao, or the way, is the great mystery. And the mystery is this feminine aspect of receptivity to something greater. Last week I shared with you in the yin-yang, the yang is the masculine energy which our culture is based on. It's do and go and get and have goals and achieve. We're a Western Yang culture. But the yin is the softer, receptive, yielding, surrendering part. And you know what the paradox is? Is the yin of you is going to win the game. Well, what do you mean? It means that when you surrender, you're strong.
Well, you're telling me that I don't have the answers, that I don't have to charge ahead and right all the world's wrongs?
That's right, Gigi. You just be the open space of love and kiss my boo-boo and make it better, and that's enough. So here's what he says about struggle. Oh, he asked this lovely question. How can we become free if we're already free? See, now that's the bigger truth. You're already free, but you don't know you're free. And then you get to say, well, who's bound then? Who isn't free? It's my egoic self that isn't free. It's my reactive self that isn't free. It's my worried self that isn't free. It's my judgmental self that isn't free. It's my conclusion self. It's me that has all the beliefs that are counter to your beliefs. Ari brought her beloved mother in last Sunday, and she was concerned that this nice Christian woman would go fisticuffs with me, and we really got along quite well, your mom and me. I don't expect her to come back because she's of a different belief system. Because I invite people to let go of belief and discover what doesn't have belief. And when you let go of belief, you're free. What are you free from? You're free from the fakakta beliefs. Fakakta is a nice Yiddish word that I find is user-friendly. When we're one with the mystery, we let go into not knowing. When you're one with the mystery, that it's all part of this web of life, well, then we get to let go into the not knowing. And here's the irony of trust. Ernest Holmes says in The Science of Mind, one sentence that knocked me over. He said, he who does not trust does not know God. And at the time, I wasn't trusting. I was trying to figure everything out with my mind. And what he was saying to me was, we have to trust in the uncertainty of life, into the unknown. We're all being done by something greater that is seeking to awaken within us so that we as a species can be a new order of being. Now, that means that you have to let go of maybe your Catholic roots, Raul, and step into the biology of belief and then step into a whole new vibrational field. We're all asked to do that at some level. In order to evolve, we have to die to an old way of thinking. Maybe that you're too cerebral and you need to open your heart. Well, what would I be like if I was just an open heart? People tell me I'd be fickle. I don't think so. When you find the open-hearted awareness, you realize that compassion then flowers. So we've kind of had it wrong. So maybe all that's really required, he says, is simply to recognize that there is a struggle. And God knows there's a struggle right now. Open to this struggle. He says, not desire it, not figure it out, not categorize it, not relate to it, but simply, totally, just fully allow it. Well, there's the struggle. You know, at the end, Bert was so compromised, I'd have to lift him up and help him down the stairs and up the steps. And, you know, I just allowed him to do his thing. He'd always waddle to the water bowl. He was so grateful. He'd see a smiling face. He'd go waddling off to them. The quality of his life may have been compromised, but it was sacred and it was sweet. And he got to share it with me, and I treasure that. And I don't mean to be talking about him, but I feel him so strongly right now within me. Just allow it, the struggle, without knowing anything about it. And then the heart can open into the mystery, and that's all you need to do.
Well, all you need to do is open your heart to the mystery.
That's right, Bert. That's all you need to do.
Well, you don't have to fix it or make it better?
No. You know, how many of us are older and a little compromised? Okay, good, good, good. Now, I was sharing with my beloved Bill on the spiritual path. My teacher, Llewellyn, said you need three things. You need common sense at this stage of life. You need a sense of humor. God knows that liberates you and sets you free. But the third and the most important is you need even more common sense. Now, and then you can laugh about that. So what is common sense? Not to climb up on a ladder if you have balance issues. Not to jump out of a plane if you have fear of heights.
Well, you could be closer to God by jumping out of a plane. I said, ain't gonna do it.
I'm not gonna jump. Every moment is the truth revealing itself. Now that sentence I circled and underlined twice. Every moment, even those moments of struggle, is the truth revealing itself. So then I get to ask the question, what is the truth here? You know, it's not seeking of the truth that sets you free, it's the actual truth that sets you free. So what is the truth? And he says the truth unhides itself. That's the Greek word. It's always there. It's within you. So we seek the truth out there in the world, in somebody's opinion, in someone's doctrine, when in actuality, this truth of our being unfolds from within. It's like an awareness. And I see it going on in satsang when people will say they have this intuitive insight that they're learning to trust and yield to. That's that surrendering. Lee knows what that's all about. There's this something that he's listening to. And so he'll get an avatar to mirror that back to him so he can hear his own self. Well, do we need someone to mirror it back to us? Maybe we do. Get an animal. They'll mirror it back to you in a language you don't understand. I promise. They always do. So every moment is alive with the truth, and the truth is revealing itself. Can we just stop and allow it to be what it is? That's why I love the mindfulness bell. Just stop and open. And you might find that you're going to experience the hell within yourself. And so can you look into the hell and say, what is this hellish moment trying to show me? And how am I feeding that hellish moment? Sylvia just went through the trip from hell, being stranded in airports. And I would venture to say she kept her center throughout the whole thing. Even though it was tempting to stomp her feet and scream, no, I think she found grace in that. She found loving people just by saying, I'm not a victim of this. So he goes on to say this, just stop and allow what is. And in the allowing, there's total inclusion of everything. And it's that simple. You don't push anything away. It's really not much more than just relaxing and profoundly stopping and being. Is that having fun, Bill? Just relaxing, stopping, and open to what is being revealed in this moment. Wow. So I asked the question, who am I being in this moment? Am I being an open, receptive channel to the clair de lune as it changes my soul? Or am I being a resistant, reactionary, a person who wants to stop my feet and run out of here and go on my narrative about how life sucks and then you die, or not. It's okay to be human, says John Burney. In fact, he says, let's embrace our humanity. Let's embrace those parts of ourself that are afraid. I see a lot of fear in this country right now because of our Supreme Court. Even Gigi says, I don't feel I can trust America. And she chose this country as her adopted country because of a Supreme Court. So could we be willing to stay with that uncertainty and that confusion and not run away? Yeah, by really opening to the mystery, we embrace the humanity and we become truly human then. We allow ourselves our humanity, and similarly, then we allow others their humanity. And then those who have struggle, whatever else they need to go through, we can be present for them as they're going through their struggle. Huh. Compassion really means allowing what is. It means letting others move as they move and letting them find their own way. Have you noticed that you had to find your way in life? That sometimes you had to get lost? And being lost wasn't a bad time, because being lost is now you can find yourself. I shared with you that Viola Davis's new book is called Finding Me. And it's an incredible story of a woman who was lost in a rather troubled lifetime. And through those difficult times, she discovered this resilient something. And Ari, that would be a great book for you, that was there all along and that motivated her. And so maybe what she's saying in her autobiographies, we all get to find that part of ourselves underneath the struggle that doesn't struggle. So who is that? Who is you? You know, Emerson says, we all seek to be certain, but only to the degree that we are uncertain, is there any hope for us? Well, do you like that one, Ari? He also says, conformity and consistency are the hobgoblin of little minds and the divine of statesmen. Look how many are trying to conform and be consistent in our country politically rather than to stand up and be an original thinker. But we all know, as Emerson says, beware when the universe unleashes an original thinker, someone who can speak the truth to power. He says the whole world will be shaken up. So maybe that's what we get to do, is to speak the truth, even though the world doesn't want to hear the truth. One of my favorite things in religious science when I was a brand new student was, there are no victims, there are only volunteers. So are you signing up for victimhood, or are you choosing to be a co-creator with the universe and choose from the highest good for all, knowing that it's not about you, it's never been about you. It's been about this love, this compassion, this awareness that wants to shine through, and we need each other in order to do that. We're more together, Lee, than apart. So when I see the light coming on in him, it's because the light's coming on in me, because we're not separate. Then we get to play in that arena of oneness, that interconnectedness. And they're all our family. The truth sets us free. I circled that. Can you say that with me?
The truth sets us free.
And this mystery that we are is what frees us from the identity of our ego, not our struggles to be free. So could we not struggle to be free and know that you're already free? I label you free. It was Thomas Jefferson that said, God hath made the mind of man free. We could change that to say man and woman. I would say all life. God hath made our mind free. Now it's we that contaminate it with our conclusions and our opinions. And when people say, do you want to know what I think about it? You know what I say, Linda? Not really. It's just another thought pattern. But it's a really interesting thought pattern because I got it all figured out. Do you really have it all figured out? Are you that smart? Yes, I have all the conclusions. And then you say, really? So it's the truth that sets us free. And the mystery that we are is what frees us from the identity of the ego, not our struggle to be free. And all of you have to do, all we have to do is listen within, observe what's arising, and feel what is right now and not draw any conclusions about it. Open to feel what is right now. You know, it's okay to feel lost. It's okay to feel confused. One of my favorite teachers is Jeff Foster, and he wrote a book called The Joy of True Meditation. And in that book, he talks about a little practice called RAIN. It's an acronym. The R stands for recognize what's happening in you. You know, it could be the struggle. It could be the desire to be a crazy 78-year-old on a unicycle. It could be resisting a job. You know, so recognize what's arising within you. It could be rage. You know, some people have rage at what's going on in our country right now. Just recognize it. Then the second thing, the A, stands for allow it. Don't push it away. If you're confused, be fully confused. If you don't know, go into the darkness of not knowing and find that the light is right there in the not knowing. So that's the A, to allow what is arising. And then the I is to integrate it, to integrate those parts of ourself that somehow we've regarded as less than acceptable. You know, our curious self, our concerned self. Gigi is one of the most concerned, compassionate people. So could she integrate that concern she has for the planet and for our Supreme Court? You integrate those parts of you. And then the last one, and the best, my favorite of the N, is you do it in a nurturing experience, in a loving way. So you nurture yourself as you recognize whatever it is that you're experiencing. It will change your life. R-A-I-N. Linda's writing those letters down. She's taking notes. And you can use them. A young lady was here last week, and she heard me have a conversation with Raul in class when he said he came to one of my first talks here, and he heard that the nature of suffering was expectations, resistance, and attachment. And he took those seminal ideas, those seeds, into his own personal life, and he set himself free from that. And as he shared his own direct experience with struggle and suffering, a young lady who hadn't heard that talk, which was maybe given 20 years ago, whenever you came here for the first time, she went, oh my God, I finally figured out why I'm suffering. It's like the light bulb went on. She had the answer to her question. It's because I had expectations of my parents and they didn't meet them, I suffered. It's because I had resistance to my family and I suffered. It's because I had an attachment to a greater idea of what religion could be and I suffered. Well, thank you, Raul, David, vicariously, because I finally figured out where my struggle was. What did she do? She recognized it, she allowed it, she inquired into it, integrated those parts in a nurturing way, and she found the freedom. It was already there. And all she did was to invite the question, what is it that's creating my struggle? At the very end of this, he said, whatever's going on, whatever it is, it will lead you to peace. Actually, as long as you're able to really stay with what is and just follow with what is, well, then all your struggle and all your suffering, it's not going to go away because I treated it away. It's just going to go away all by itself because you're not believing in it. You're not identifying as it. You're smiling at it in a strange sort of way. Oh, there you are, my little fear. Oh, there you are, my confusion. Oh, there you are, my anger. Anger's a, you know, a wonderful thing if you don't act out on the anger, because anger can be a motivator for change. You know, it was Trey's anger at the people cutting down the trees that motivated him into a proactive way of just creating a sign that says, if you like shade, thank a tree. And so he invested his money in buying trees for the city and having them planted in the city. It was Jean Ann that knew Trey was buying these trees. And she said to me, she said, I'll plant it. I'll put a sign in my yard if you give me a tree. Well, I didn't tell her that he bought trees for the Five Points area, not for all of Huntsville. So she didn't get a tree for her yard, and so she didn't put up the sign, she said. I said, well, you can just find a friendly tree. It doesn't have to be your tree. So each one of us gets a way, find a way to be in service to something that we care about. And it's the little things. You know, it's rescuing the cat on the side of the road. It's, you know, it's whatever. Watering a plant when it's thirsty. Someone was telling me that they started rescuing worms as they're crossing the pathway of life. Is that a big thing? It's a little thing? It's a worm thing. I was talking to my friend Bob about, you know, killing snakes, and the neighbor lady up the street, I hadn't met her, she came over to introduce herself, and she said, I saw a snake slithering down your sidewalk the other day. I said, oh yeah, I know. There was a snake slithering in the backyard, there was a snake that Trey rescued from the pond. I said, I think it's just a garter snake, so you don't need to be afraid. We can share this space with them. And I know you had an experience of concern. Even my neighbor lady across the street, she found a big old snake in her yard. She picks up the rake. She has the snake on the bottom of the rake. He's a big old thing. And she's running over to me with the snake, shoving him in my face. And the snake turns around and starts heading toward her. And she throws the rake at me. The rake goes down in the yard and he slithers away. And I said, have no fear. Have no fear. He's lived here longer than you have. And he'll find a way. He's probably under the house just trying to stay cool in this hot weather. You see how we struggle with something and we don't need to? So find the truth and let the truth set you free. Until it doesn't. Until it doesn't. Yeah, so, what did I write down here to say? The joy of meditation, deep listening, did the class thing. Oh, last Sunday I ended the whole series, and I asked the question, how are we going to make our way in the world? And I realized I ended that whole series in a question, and I didn't really give you an answer, other than I invited you to stay in the question. How can we be in a flow of life? How can we trust in the uncertainty? How can we open to this mystery of something that is so much bigger? What if, when he played that music, what if he was exposing us to the unheard mystery of the universe that's inviting us to listen at a deeper level? It's not about looking for answers, Raoul. It's about opening to the unheard mystery of life. And I was talking to Bob about Mozart and Beethoven and how they tapped the field. And I remember reading about Mozart when I did the Anatomy of Inspiration. He talked about he would hear the music come through him, and his job was to merely translate it into notes. So you're actually listening to the music of the spheres. So the final question I want to leave us with is the what if question. What if it's so much bigger and we can't really figure it out?
Well, then I think I'd probably live in a place of constant discovery, wouldn't I, Jody?
I wouldn't have the answers. I would be teachable. I would have the beginner's heart and the beginner's mind. That's why I love being around young people, because they live in that beautiful place of the beginner's mind, the beginner's heart. Sometimes when we get old, we have conclusions and we get stuck in our mindset. And the key is to be in this flow of constant emergence. So in this lovely book, Mark Nepo, he writes about the unheard symphony of the universe. What if we're here to hear the unheard symphony of the universe? And I'm going to read this little poem that he wrote, and then I'm going to invite Bob up here and Raoul, and we'll do a closing meditation as we attempt to hear what isn't being said. And this means you have to listen with a different part of your being. So here's what he says. What if, I love the what if question, what if it's neither you who touch nor me who is touched? Because that separates us, doesn't it? What if the movement of touch lets us join in a current of aliveness that is always there? Could we be touched in our heart space, in that field of divine love? Could we be touched in the music as it opens something within us? What if our love lets us see what we stand on in the middle of our dark times? All right, take that one to heart. What if love lets us see what we stand on in the middle of dark times? These are dark times. And so let's fall back into the love. He says it's the same way that lightning lets us see the earth at night during the darkest times. What if there is only one chord heard in many ways? One chord, the chord of love, the chord of possibility, the chord of all is well. hurt in many ways. What if, he says, I've spent all my years trying to learn new chords when I sorrowly needed to just absorb the one chord? I thought, oh, there's all these different answers, and there's only one. It all boils down to love, the chord of love. What if it all depends on our presence and our attention?
Well, that's a simple idea, to be fully present, Michael. And where are you putting your attention? What if it's that simple? Well, I'm here now, opening to the unheard symphony of the universe, which I'm learning to listen with my heart, letting it touch me at a deeper level. Well, what if this is all we ever have, is the sacred moment, the cosmic yawn, opening to life? What if this is all we ever have, is this moment?
And that capacity, remember it was the Buddha that said, you don't learn from experiences in life, you learn from your capacity to experience. So could we expand this capacity to deeply listen to the unheard universe? So Ari, it's not matter what people think, it matters what the universe thinks. In our men's bathroom, we have a sign with Albert Einstein says, I don't want to know what man thinks, I want to know what God thinks. And every time I look at that thing, I smile. He wanted to hear the unheard symphony of the universe, not somebody else's conclusions. So what if this is all we ever have? And could this be the secret to love? That it grows our presence like a seed. The love grows the presence like a seed. So I'm here on Sundays watering the seed of the presence in all y'all. And in order to do that, I have to water the seed of presence within me. And you know who waters that seed of presence in me? My one-eyed pug. Someone who said on the other day that it's the ugliest dog they ever saw. That's the second time I've heard that. And something in me doesn't see ugliness. I see the most beautiful pug on the planet. What if birds are notes in the universe that are longing for a clarinet, and fish are tones that are yearning for a violin? Well, he's somewhere in the real world of oneness, isn't he? What if the birds are longing for a clarinet and the fish are tones yearning for a violin, and the flow of life below our names is a calligraphy that sweeps us into the gestures that we all call life? That we're all part of this symphony, this universe, this one song, whether it's the birds, whether it's the fish. It's taking you into a different way of looking at life. Could we see through the eyes of oneness? I asked that question. Well, then it's not my question anymore, is it? The oneness is starting to wake up. Can you see me? He who can see God in the smallest of things is better than seeing an angel.
Well, are you asking me to see God in everything, even in the worm and in that snake that was slithering down the sidewalk? Oh, I think so, Jody Rutenberg.
He says this, what if the unheard symphony of life writes itself, that you're not the doer? And when I hush my mind, there's that idea of hushing the mind again, well, then I feel like snow. The instant it is closer to the ground than it is to the sky. I feel like the snow. I feel like that gentle rain from heaven that touches a place within me and knows that I don't have to go to a lofty place outside myself to experience the presence of God. You know, we've exiled God. It was Meister Eckhart. He says, you've exiled God to somewhere out in the galaxies. He's supposed to be floating up there in a place called heaven when he says God is closer to you than your own jugular vein. So could we know that intimacy with this presence? That's a question. What if it's what we are, and what if it's waiting for us to go home? And then the paradox is, what if it says, you've already arrived, Linda, you're already there? Well, then could I open to that realization? Holy cow, that's the whole spiritual mind treatment in religious science, to recognize that all there is this something and to unite with it. And then make a declaration, a realization of whatever that realization is with gratitude, with playfulness. And then you release it and you trust that something is unfolding. And this is an ongoing prayer. Life becomes your prayer. And it's not something you do, it's something you live. So I'm going to invite my beloved brother back to the mindfulness bell. And I'm going to invite Bob up to the keyboard. And I'm going to take you into a lovely little closing meditation. And then we get to sing a song and make a circle, because I know you all love to do that. And because this beautiful man has decided to help us do that, we'll realize that we're more together than we are alone. I don't have to do this alone anymore. I've got my brother on the mindfulness bell and my brother on the keyboard. Raul, there we go. For whom the bell tolls. There's another question. It tolls for thee. It's asking us to smile, to stop, to be. to recognize what is arising in this holy instant of now. And if it's struggle, smile to the struggle. If you're experiencing a wall of resistance, become the wall. And as we recognize our interconnectedness with everything, well, then we have the opportunity to allow it to dissipate. It comes up to be met like bubbles in a glass of champagne, and then what do the bubbles do? They burst. And they leave us with an intoxicating high. I have arrived in the high of life without focusing on the bubbles of change. And then in a metaphorical sort of way, we realize that all of life is an opportunity to bring the darkness and the light together. When things are the darkest, they say the light is potentially the brightest. If you look at a night sky, when it's really dark outside, you can see the stars. So what if the universe is preaching a gospel that we need to listen to at an internal level? That when things seem to be really dark, and these are dark times, there is the possibility to have those illumined insights, that come through deep listening to something that has been previously unheard, but that now we're paying attention to. And so we begin to ask that beautiful question, what is life showing me right now in this holy instant of now? And then deeply listen, not with a conclusion, but listen for that felt awareness. As we begin to enter the 4th of July tomorrow, let's ask the question, what is it in me that is free, that has always been free? And let's smile to that. I venture to say it probably wouldn't be your mind that's announcing that, because the mind is rarely free. But there is a knowing and an awareness that's free, that doesn't think thoughts. So let's just slide into that field of awareness that's always free. It doesn't care what the mind thinks. It smiles to the mind. It's an instrument. It's a wonderful servant and a terrible master. And so we smile to the servant of mine who is choosing to cultivate a more loving presence in this incarnation called now, in this mystery of belonging to the universe. Universe, one song. And we're all part of that one song. I hear that beautiful chant, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. And so resting, for however brief it may be, in that stillness, resting in that knowing, resting in that divine presence that by its very nature permeates all existence. That's why they call it existence. The Tao Te Ching calls it the Tao, the way. And so we open to the Tao. We open to the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father but by me. He wasn't talking about me, the man. He was talking about the way. We get into the Tao. We get into the flow. We get into the awareness. We get into this incredible, divine, compassionate love. And it is the way. It is the truth. And it is the one life emerging in all of us. And so we begin to build bridges between seemingly disparate beliefs into a realization that life is waking up and it's discovering itself with a beginner's mind and a beginner's heart that is teachable and open and playful, that I am you, you are me, we are one. And in this unity, in this oneness, we will live in harmony. And peace has come. It's already come, as has freedom, as has love. Why? Because we're one. So having given you the lyrics of the song without sheet music, inviting you to make a circle, taking hands, knowing that we're a safe place, honoring distance, if you don't feel comfortable, it's up to you. And I'm going to invite Bob to lead us in this song. he got me a microphone. Who wants to sing with the microphone? Salutation by saying to this presence, I honor you.
I honor you.
I respect you.
I respect you.
I love you.
I love you.
I open in this sacred moment to the energy of the divine. And I offer it this life.
And I offer it this life.
To do with it as you will.
To do with it as you will.
In love and joy and creative discovery.
We celebrate its unfoldment
with curiosity and expectancy. Yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
For listening to our podcast. For more information, visit our website at www.cslhuntsville.org.